We don't want you here. You're not welcome here. Those sentences make our stomachs twist. It's rejection, not belonging, being cast aside or forced out, made to feel second class or unworthy. The sense that, you know, there just isn't a place for you. It makes us feel ashamed. It makes us feel embarrassed or angry and defensive. The sense that you're not allowed in, that you're not welcome, that there's something wrong with you fundamentally, that's a terrible feeling. So let's start again. Let's rewind and we'll start this over. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I am going. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. We're in the final week of the series that we've been calling More Than Enough. In the first week, John talked about the fact that we live in a scarcity mindset. We start to think that we need to hoard and hang on to things with all of our might and provide for ourselves because there may not be enough for me and everyone else, right? But the reality is that God can take care of us better than we can take care of ourselves, and we need to be generous. We need to point people to God who truly cares for us and truly gives us more than enough. And Kelly preached on the ways that our faith in God is bigger than our fear and our anxiety. We need to trust in God's goodness and his ability to provide for us. Faith is bigger than fear. Last week, Jake talked a little bit about how we can swing on a pendulum from being welcoming and open to being inwardly focused, and how we need to find a balance. There are obstacles, there are things that prevent God from people from getting close to God. So people feel like there's something that's not making enough space for them in a church or somewhere like that. And we need to tear those obstacles down here at Harbor. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Emma. I'm one of the pastors here at Harbor. And this week I'm closing out our series by talking about hospitality, what it means to be hospitable. And it is not about having an awesome spread at Thanksgiving. This is something that goes much deeper than that. It has its roots in the spirit, not in silverware, not in tablecloths. Because those things that I said at the beginning of the sermon, at the beginning, you're not welcome, that you don't belong, those things that I said at the beginning of the sermon, those things spring from a sick spirit. This lack of hospitality, that is sin. So let's call it like it is: to reject people and to shut the door on their faces, to treat guests and treat strangers with contempt or callousness or coldness, that is sin, plain and simple. Henry Nouwen, he was a Catholic priest and theologian, he said that the opposite of hospitality is hostility. How do we behave when we don't want to show hospitality to other people? We're hostile. We are actively mean and we reject other people. And it's often rooted in fear. We're afraid of people who aren't like us. It's also rooted in selfishness. We don't show hospitality because we're focused on ourselves and what we want. Either way, if we're being hostile because we're afraid or because we're selfish, it's evil. It's just plain evil. It is something that is absolutely appalling and disgusting in the eyes of God. And some of you might say, that sounds kind of harsh. But God came down pretty hard on people who did not show hospitality. That was the major sin committed by Sodom in the Old Testament. So when two angels came into the city of Sodom, Lot, the only holy man who was in that city, he invited the angels in so they wouldn't have to sleep out on the streets. And every man in the city of Sodom showed up at Lot's door, banged on the door, and they demanded that Lot give them these two men, these two angels, so that they could know them. That's the Bible's PG version of how the story goes. So because of their hostility towards these people, God destroyed Sodom. Because of their evil, because they didn't show angels from God hospitality, God destroyed that city. Hospitality was a command. a law from God. God required this of his people ever since civilization existed, to be hospitable and welcoming toward people. He made it a part of the laws that his people, the Israelites, had to follow. This is from Leviticus chapter 19, starting in verse 13, where God gives the laws. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself. For you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. This is what God calls his people to do, to treat outsiders, people who are outside of their religion, outside of their culture, outside of their nation, who come into their land to live there. They say, God told the Israelites, treat them like they were born there. The first instinct is to be hostile. But God said, your first response, your first instinct needs to be hospitality. Do not mistreat them and love them as yourself. But what if they worship differently? They're welcome. But what if they don't speak the language? They're welcome. But what if they want to eat our food and use our land? They're welcome. But what if they don't leave? They're welcome. That is radical hospitality. Treat foreigners as though they were born in your country. That's hospitality to the point of discomfort. Love them as yourself. That is radical hospitality. And we don't like radical hospitality. And the reason we don't like it is because we like the things that are familiar. We like the people who we already know. There was a study that came out in 2010 that did brain scans of people, and they saw that when they scan people's brains, when they were looking at pictures of people, the brain was more responsive to people that they already knew than they were to strangers who they had a lot in common with. So even if, you know, they had a lot in common with a stranger, they still didn't respond as much to the person who they already knew. So, you know, you would rather hang out with the annoying guy you've known since childhood, even though all he wants to talk about is how he kicked your butt at T-ball, you know, back when you were kids, and even though he helps himself to food off your plate, you'd rather hang out with that guy than with the person who has a lot in common with you, because they might be a stranger. If that person is a stranger you met at work, you'd rather hang out with the annoying friend. Why? The annoying friend is a known quantity. He may annoy you, but you know that already. No surprises, it's way less risky. The stranger that you have stuff in common with is a big question mark. That's the fear of the unknown. Fear of the stranger, stranger danger. You know, it's kind of nice that it rhymes. That question mark can be scary. What if they're even more annoying, right? What if it turns out they're not trustworthy? What if they're horrible people? What if they hurt me? What if they're offensive? That question mark can also be kind of tense, right? So what if they say something I disagree with? What if they're kind of awkward? What if I'm awkward? What if I accidentally offend them? You know, it's easier to stick with what you know. And today, it's easier than ever before to avoid people who disagree with you or are different from you, because we live in the age of the internet and Facebook, right? You can unfollow people, right? When they say something that's, you know, politically you don't agree with, or you're like, I'm tired of seeing pictures of your cat, or, you know, whatever it is that you kind of are just, that's just not my thing, I don't really want to see that anymore. You can just unfollow them. And you know, you can look at news sites that cater to your perspective already. You don't need to read other people's perspectives, because you can just read the perspective that's in line with your current perspective. You know, it's about, the internet kind of exists to make us feel good and validated in who we already are. Have you all noticed that? It's like, look at all these people that agree with me and are like me. You know, we can self-select. Our web browsers do the same thing. When you do a Google search, have you noticed that you often get sent to the same websites over and over again? You know, it's because, you know, we're kind of forced, not being forced, we kind of allow ourselves to stay in the same circles we've always been in. We're not forced to step outside. But that's a problem. Because when all my friends are like me already and think the way that I do, I can start to think that everyone is like me. And if they're not like me, then I don't even really see them anymore. I don't really care about them, and I don't extend hospitality to them. You know, we spend most of our time in our lives thinking about ourselves and the people in our circles, right? And we forget about the value of the people who exist outside of those circles. They start not to matter as much. And we see this happen in the Bible all the time. People make value judgments about who matters and who doesn't matter and who should get attention from God and who shouldn't get attention from God. People like kids. Some people brought their little kids over to Jesus so that he could bless them. And the disciples were like, get out of here. Don't bring your kids over to Jesus. They're loud. They cry. They can't sit still. They're sticky. Jesus does not have time for them. Or people with shady lives, people who are sinful. There was a woman who came to wash Jesus' feet with perfume, show him honor, you know, and there was a Pharisee whose home this was in. And he sees this woman doing this thing and says to Jesus, Jesus, if you were legit, you would know that this person, this woman doing this thing for you is a nasty sinner. Or like people with special needs. There is a blind man on the street and he yelled to Jesus as he walked by, have mercy on me, Jesus, son of David. And everyone tells him to shut up, right? That his shouting is hurting their ears. You know, Jesus has better things to do than to deal with you. This series that we're calling More Than Enough, that is the opposite of how these people saw these people. They thought there was only so much Jesus to go around. There's only so much room for you people. You don't fit in here. You can't fit in here. You aren't welcome. These people, children, sinners, blind people, they matter. Yet these people in these stories just couldn't see that in the moment for whatever reason. Instead of showing care and hospitality and kindness, they have this kind of knee-jerk response to push them away. But what is Jesus' response to them? How does Jesus see these people? To the children, he says, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. To the sinful woman who washes his feet, he says, your sins are forgiven. To the blind man, he says, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Jesus says to these people, there is room for you. You are welcome in my sight and in my presence. You are welcome here. And how does Jesus see these people? You are guests. You are beloved children. You are made whole again. In John 14, these verses that we've been in the past 4 weeks, well, including today, this is what Jesus had to say to his disciples. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. Jesus made a place for us. He's preparing it. He's getting it ready for us to join him along with anyone else who wants to. There's millions of rooms. So many spaces. He does not have a limit. He does not have a maximum occupancy. He doesn't want to see a single person perish without him. He doesn't want to see a single person excluded from his Father's home. There is more than enough room. And not only that, it is prepared for us. Don't you like love it when you go somewhere and it's been prepared just for you? You know, specifically and especially for you. I'm not talking about like a hotel or a motel where like, you know, the sheets are clean sort of, you know. I am talking about, you know, a special place. So my sister and her family, they recently moved to Rockport, Massachusetts. They're probably the busiest people that I know personally. She and my brother-in-law run a screen printing business. So they make screen prints, so they make the art. And so any of you who know people who both run their own business but also make the things that they sell, you probably know how busy that they are. The work days are very, very long, sometimes until 4 a.m. when they have to get up in 2 hours and go to work. But they recently moved to Rockport. Have any of you been there before? Rockport, it's not too far from here. Beautiful place. It is seriously the cutest, most New England coast kind of town ever. I kept saying it's like it's fake or something. Seriously, is the picture of it. So that was taken off of her third story balcony. It's beautiful, right? So it's a beautiful place. And she wanted me and my husband, Jeff, and our daughter, Clementine, to come visit. And when we got there, we drove in, we got out of the car, and my brother-in-law, Rusty, came out, and he said, Ingrid, my sister, is upstairs frantically trying to get everything ready for you. And we could hear it because the windows were open, so we heard banging and pushing and all that stuff. But when we went upstairs to see it, it was so nice. You know, I mean, my sister completely embodied the fixer-upper look, you know, modern, country, comfortable, clean palette, you know, uncluttered white sheets, nice blankets. There's a little basket on the bureau with snacks and water bottles and notebooks, and it was just so inviting and so nice. And she did that because she cares about us and she loves us, and she wanted us to feel welcome and comfortable and a part of their home while we were there. And she did this even though she's really busy. She has two kids of her own. She runs her business with her husband, but she was getting her home in order, clean and comfortable for her guests. And she wasn't just doing it so that we would stay up in the room and not see them or anything. We were there to spend time with her. You know, we were there to be a part of her home with her family. Jeff Clementine and I wanted to be there with her and her family, and she made it ready for us. She prepared a place for us. And even though it was a lot of work, she was joyful. She was happy to do it. It wasn't like she had her arms crossed the whole time we were visiting, like sulking, kind of like, oh, I'm so tired. I can't believe I had to do all this work for you. No. Sure, it was a lot of work, right? But she was so happy to do it. She was so excited to do it because she was excited and happy for us to be there with her. And we were so excited to be there too. We were all having a great time. So while it may not be what Jesus literally meant when he said he's preparing a place for us, you know, just take a minute and think of it that way. Jesus is spending his time fluffing pillows, adding little personal touches just for you, making the space perfect for you to sleep over, to relax, to ultimately just for us to spend time with him. It's his home, but he is busy spending time preparing it. And even though he's really busy, even though he's the Lord of everything, he cares for us. He cares for each and every single human being. Jesus loves people. He loves being with people. He loves caring for people. He wants people to be in his home, in a space that he has specially prepared for them. He wants us there, and he wants to spend time with us. But we need to ask ourselves, are we that way? Do we think the same thing? Do we think that people and caring for them and welcoming them, do we think that that is so important? Do we think that loving people matters above all else? I'm not so sure. You know, we often operate out of that scarcity mentality, like what John talked about in week one. We think that there just isn't enough for everyone. There's only so much space. There's only so much head space. There's only so much heart space, right? That's often how it seems to work for us. But thank God that he is not that way. God does not work out of that mentality. God is not limited by anything. He doesn't have a cap where he needs to start turning people away at the door. God has room for everyone. God said that he would make a space for us, but to do that, he came to us first. He pursued us. And you know, it looks like it was a major inconvenience to him, right? Jesus, before he was human, he existed. Before he was the baby in the manger, right, on Christmas time, he still existed, not in human form. And he wasn't limited by things like time. He wasn't limited by space. He wasn't limited by mortality. He wasn't limited by hunger or any kind of biological functions that humans are limited by. You would think he would resent that. To become human for 33 years, you think that that would have been a hard sell for him. But he did not mind it at all. In fact, it was a joy. Never once did Jesus complain about doing this. So like my sister did not resent preparing a place for me and Jeff and Clementine, Jesus did not resent becoming human. He was looking forward to preparing a place for us. He was looking forward to making this space for us. He wanted to do this for us because he loves us. When you love someone, you will do whatever it takes. There is more than enough room for us. Jesus has gone before us and he is preparing our home. So where does that leave us? What does it mean? What does this mean that we need to do? We need to be people who say there's more than enough. We've prepared a place for you. You are more than welcome to join us. You know, the church does not really have a reputation for being a welcoming space. You know, there's kind of this sense that you have to believe in order to belong there. Have you ever invited someone to church and they said, oh, church, you have to be like perfect to be in church and you have to like know all this stuff and I just can't go because I just can't be a part of that. Because Jesus sounds kind of like church sounds like a Jesus social club or something like that. The church might have that reputation, but that means we have to change because we are the church. We need to be more than enough people. We need to change the message to, you belong even if you don't believe. You are welcome here. You don't need to believe to belong. There's always room for one more. That needs to be part of our vocabulary. You belong here. These are words that need to be spoken by us. I want to see all the empty seats filled with people. That needs to be something that we say, something that we wish. But let's get a little more specific. This also needs to roll off the tongue. I want to help addicts feel more welcome here at Harbor. Or I want people who struggle with mental illness to feel loved and welcomed here at Harbor. Or I want someone who has the opposite political stance of me to feel welcome at my church. Or I want a homeless person to feel like Harbor is home. Maybe it's, I want a transgendered person to feel comfortable here at Harbor. I want an immigrant, a refugee to be welcome. I want a person with a different ethnicity from me to feel at home. I want someone who's a person who's a different nationality from me to feel at home here at Harbor. I want a Muslim person to feel loved here at Harbor. Whatever that stranger looks like, whoever that person who is different from you, whoever that stranger on the outside who might scare you, who stirs up feelings of hostility, but needs to feel as though there's more than enough room, who needs hospitality. That's who we need to welcome because they belong. Because if we're truly going to be good hosts, to be people that say that there's more than enough, then we need to prepare a place here in this building that practices the kind of radical hospitality that Jesus practiced. It may not seem like Jesus was that radical to us today, but he was. People were shocked when he crossed these social boundaries. Children were not valued in Jesus' day. Women were not valued. Sinners were not valued. The disabled and the handicapped were not valued. People thought there wasn't enough room for them. But Jesus valued them. Jesus said to them, there is more than enough room for you, and I am preparing a place for you. So we need to ask ourselves, who are the people that our society doesn't value? And even more difficult to ask, who are the people that I don't value? Whoever those people are, we need to say to them, we have more than enough room for you. You need to be able to say that too. You need to be able to say, I have more than enough room for you. That is the revolutionary nature of the gospel. The good news is that the barriers between us and God and us and other people are torn down because of the gospel. The gospel fully lived out is that by God's grace, we are fully known and loved by God no matter what, and we are called to show that same full love to other people around us without exception. At its core, the gospel is more than enough. At its core, its message says that there is more to life. There is more joy. There is more meaning, right? There is more love. There is more peace. It just overflows. There's more than enough. It goes beyond what we expect. And there is more than enough room. We need to embrace this. We need to be more than enough kind of people. So, how does this happen? We need to pray. So first of all, we need to ask God to forgive us for when we don't welcome and care for people and show this kind of hospitality. But we also need to ask God to open our eyes to the people who are around us who need to feel welcomed and who need to be told that there's more than enough room. You're welcome. You're loved and accepted here. So real talk, we're not all Martha Stewart, and that's okay. I'm not talking about us all becoming the hostess with the mostest. You know, that's not what I'm talking about at all. Some people are natural at that, and I love those people because they make 3-course meals and have Instagrammable kind of food and stuff, and that's awesome. I love that stuff. But that's not really what I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about a hospitable attitude, a hospitable perspective, a way of seeing the world through hospitality, and everyone is required to be that way. You can show hospitality in the way that you interact and in the way that you see other people. So, what happens when you see your cashier as someone who needs to be shown hospitality? What about your waitress? What about the person who does housekeeping at your office building? How about when you're driving? What does hospitable driving look like? That would change things pretty significantly, definitely for me. If we talk to our neighbors with a hospitality mindset, you know, it's easy enough to talk to friends and family with hospitality. What about just people we don't know very well? If we kept our ears open for that, our eyes open, what would that look like? If we say, God, open my eyes to the people in my life that I need to show hospitality towards, either you will have a new perspective or God will suddenly put people in your path. And I think both can happen simultaneously. That's what happens to me a lot. A while back, before I worked here, so this was probably almost 10 years ago, I was an adjunct professor and I taught college writing kind of stuff at a couple different schools. And at one point I suddenly realized, oh, I am pretty much only friends with church people. It was a pretty like sobering realization. So I was like, this is not good. And I prayed that God would change that. I said, God, I don't know why this is the way that it is, but change me, change the situation. And guess what? At work, pretty soon after this prayer, there was a person there who, because my schedule was kind of weird, I hadn't seen in years. I had had some small conversations with her, but she happened to be there. And we talked and, you know, now, we're pretty good friends. I went to her wedding a couple months ago. And then another old friend who I hadn't spoken to in years around the same time period, maybe within like a couple days, emailed me out of the blue just to see how I was. So that was God working in me and also providing me with opportunity. So I was probably more open to it. I was more aware of these things happening, that hospitality. And now I really try to make an extra effort to stretch outside of my current social circles. I try to make room for that. Hospitality and openness, it is both supernatural, something that God provides, but it's also a choice. We choose to put ourselves out there to get to know other people, to get into these opportunities. A final thing you can pray. Pray for Harbor's future. So, we want to be a church that prepares a place for the people in the greater Lowell area. We want to bring this more than enough kind of thinking outside of North Chelmsford. We want to open a location in Lowell. We want to open a location wherever God leads us next, multiple locations, so that we can prepare a place, a space where people feel welcome and loved. Wherever God points us, we want to go there. So pray. Pray for our next location. Pray for the people in that town. Pray that for job interviews. Pray for the physical space where we will hopefully be. Let's be more than enough people. Let's be the more than enough church that we will go above and beyond to be hospitable, to create room for one more person. And then another one more person, and another one more person. Let's go and extend this message of hospitality and love to a world filled with brokenhearted people who are just waiting to receive it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you went above and beyond to care for us, that you went above and beyond to create a space for us, and that you are currently preparing space for us and all the people that you love. You love the world, Lord. You do not want to see anyone far from you. You want to see people come back to you, Lord. So we pray that you would open our eyes to these people that we could show hospitality towards, that we could love, that we could tell that there's more than enough room for you here. Change our hearts and open our eyes, Lord, that we would have the eyes and the heart of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray all of these things in his name. Amen.